February 28, 2021. It's a lot for Pedro's show. Watt for Pedro show. Happy Sunday, last day of February. This month, Pert and here gone. Start off with John Coltrane doing Equinox. Yeah, we're not there yet. It's the next one coming, the Vernal, right? And then Notre Dame, Kimball Brandenburg. Brother Matt at the Pleasure Point, on the Pleasure Point at the Love Grotto, because still quite in quarantine mode, but not totally man alone, because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. Once again, I got Fred Kimball with me from Berlin.
Hello. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. And you're back with a new proj.
Yes, I am. Yeah, exactly like you said, Kimball Brandenburg. It's actually a film music project collaboration with a pianist composer Hans-Jørn Brandenburg, who we met here a bit more than 2 years ago.
And being a Berliner, that's a great name.
Yeah.
Right, because of the gate.
Exactly, it's got its own gate here in town.
I think it's the name of the state too, maybe.
Exactly, it's the state that's like around Berlin. Berlin is kind of its own state, but around it is Brandenburg State. Exactly. So the Brandenburg Gate was actually like the city toll gate to Brandenburg, I think, once
upon a time. No, I remember because, you know, the old days there used to be this land, West Germany, and the capital was Bonn. So when they moved it, yeah, they created like a D.C. or a DF they got in Mexico. Yeah, the capital has its own little region.
Exactly. And this is the city, the outer city limits is like the borders, and then it's Brandenburg.
Right. Okay. Enough geography people, but it's good to know. And also culturally, Berlin is a huge center of all kinds of people. Just had, I got buddy Barry Berko is going to move there from Tel Aviv because he says it's too expensive to live there and he's going to go to, but yeah, because the artist thing, you know, he's attracted. And I know it's not as econo as it used to be, but it's still compared to other big Europe cities. But let's talk about your proj that Kimball Brandenburg. A little reverse alphabetical, so you must have negotiated that somehow. maybe the syllables, two, then three. Yeah, maybe that. But fuck hierarchy, it don't matter. It sounds good. I love it. But let's talk about the genesis.
Yeah, actually, as the Brandenburg half of the duo, Hans-Jørn Brandenburg, he's worked a lot in theater music and a lot with Bob Wilson, who's active in New York, and he did the Three Penny Opera. Well, he started working with him actually in 1990 with Tom Waits and William S. Burroughs as well for The Black Rider in Hamburg. So, and since then he's been working loads in theater music, and I went to see the Three Penny Opera, Robert Wilson.
Well, Kurt Weill, right?
Yeah, exactly. Bertolt Brecht, Kurt Weill, which I love the music, and I hadn't seen it on a stage before, and I was really blown away. It was really good. And we got, and I just made my Lap Steel and Pump Organ album back then, and I realized that they actually had in the original score from Kurt Weill from 1928, they had both Pump Organ and Lap Steel. So I was thought that was cool, and we got talking, and he heard my music and liked it and said, let's do a session, and we did. And the first time we just recorded a 17-minute epic improvisation that actually is on the album in a shorter form. It's called Nollendorf Neptune.
How did you meet him?
Yeah, that's actually funny because I got talking to his colleague. You know, there were two people who were musical directors for this show, and that was him and another guy. And I talked to the other guy on the night, and because I was, and we, you know, he said, "Oh, let me," you know, he wanted to check out my music. And then I Googled, and I got the wrong guy, because I wasn't really sure. There were two who I've been talking to, so I sent him an email a few days later, and he said, yeah, let's meet up. And then we met, and he said, you actually spoke to my colleague the other night. So when we met, we had actually not met before, which I thought, because I wasn't really sure who was who. So it's quite a random way to meet. But then he's a very open and nice guy, and he had listened to my music and just invited me to his studio, and we had a session. So that's how it started.
So you actually met his buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you know, they were connected musically, so there was some kind of connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. And so he's got his pad set up to be, do jams.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he has this lovely, it's an old Berlin flat, big windows out, and he has like a grand piano at the center of the room, but then he has so much things. He has a double bass, he has harmonium, has pump organ, Celeste, lots of synthesizers, I mean, and loads of instruments, and the mics are set up and ready to go. And what I like is to write something, I would normally say, oh, let's just put down a demo on the phone or something. But he's like, no, let's record straight away. So a lot of the stuff on the album is actually recorded just after we came up with it. And that's really cool because you kind of capture a freshness. And I love working with him and in his room there. It's really open for just getting things recorded. It's set up and ready to go.
So, yeah, that's right. He's got it primed or like ready to capture the moment.
Yeah.
That's very happening, and that's something you can have in your own pad where you don't have to organize another place and appointments and times and people. It's just ready to go, to capture.
Exactly, and that's been so good because so much good music we would probably have forgotten. Or, you know, when something is really fresh, you don't think that much about it. You just play, and you're quite playful in playing, and you don't think like, oh, this is going to be on a record because that was not the plan, you know. And then there it is.
Also, what about the idea of refining? Maybe you lose something.
Exactly, and he's really good because he never wants to do more than two or maximum three takes. Sometimes if I ask, if I really say, please, can we do one more? He said, all right, one. So it's also like one, two, or three takes, and then done. And I really like that because I tend to want to do too many takes. And then on the other hand, he can sometimes want to put a lot of things on a track, and I say, hey, I think it's actually better if we peel off a few of these layers. So we kind of hold each other back there in a nice way.
Well, that first part reminds me of the story, reading about James Jamerson, the bass man with the Motown people. And he said, like, recording with Smokey Robinson this time, he said, about take 247, rigor mortis started to get in the groove.
Yeah, that's very true, you know.
Yeah, now, I don't know if it was exactly 240, but it was in the 200 somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Then you've gone too far.
And although there was some complaints about him, like the other guys in the band when they did gigs, they're all in a state. He knows this is before the vans, you know, you're touring in station wagons. And I guess he was into, like, fucking pig feet, and cigars, and so he was kind of stinking it up. So, you know, everybody's got their weird things.
Yeah. Pickled pig feet, yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's a kind of a it's kind of drinking chow.
Yeah.
Right? While you're drinking, you eat that kind of stuff. Okay. You know, the way I'm playing this thing on the show, I'm playing all the pieces, and I'm playing them in the order.
Oh, sweet.
But I'm also playing them in the order.
Wow.
Is that important? Well, because in a way, I didn't know, you know the Wizard of Oz movie, right? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. So I don't know what's going on, you know, the way it was made, but it kind of seems like a big piece.
Yeah, it's sort of, we did music for two films, so a lot of those, like two-thirds of what's on the album is in two films, two documentary films for German TV. And then along with the working for this film music, we thought, oh, we should do an album because it's taking on some sort of character here, especially all the titles that I call Madame Vega something, because I have this old lap steel, it's right next to me here from 1939, Vega, and it's like a beautiful Art Deco lap steel, really heavy, and I think I just took it there to show him, look at this cool instrument, because I haven't used it so much because it's so heavy, you know, it's not for gigging and things, and then it just sounded so good with his piano that it really worked well together, and several of the tracks took out on a character that were a little bit tongue-in-cheek, as they say in England, you know, like a little bit, I wouldn't say funny, but you know, like just making music and see, okay, what's this? Is this serious? It sounds a bit funny. No, let's just do it. So it was a few tracks that took on this character, and we thought we should do an album kind of with these things and some other things. So, yeah, trying to make it cohesive somehow.
Can I suggest ironic?
Yeah, but also not, you know, like this one's called Madame Vega's Cuban Dream, which we call that because it sounds a little bit like Cuban music, but Cuban music by someone who has never been to Cuba, you know, which is true because we haven't been there. At least I haven't.
You know, there's a great story, Yasser Kalambata, called Snow Country. And the main cat, you know, is this expert, so-called expert on ballet, but he's never seen a ballet. That's what made me think of. Look, speaking of Madame Vega, I guess it's like an alter ego of your lap steel. I want to play Madame Vega Goes Out for Cocktails.
Lowest Papa Dominator. you know it. You're wanting to try to show it. And that's a reason you know.
Lowest common denominator. Lowest common denominator. Lowest common
cruising the monuments. I embrace the pain. No pain, no gain. I walk alone.
Every day seems like every other when you're not here. Maybe you're training your brain in dreams for eyes of stone.
Up again, my mouth just goes open.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with the brand new Kimbaum Brandenburg album. And a tune called Madam Vega goes out for cocktails. You want to enlighten us to that little vignette?
Yeah, actually, it sounded a little bit... Well, I kind of played it a little bit like a drunk and in the... I wasn't drunk. It was early in the... It was before 12... Before noon, I think. But it kind of sounded like this character, Madame Vega. She was going out on town and maybe she was a bit down and out. And in the last verse, or you should call it, I actually play it like she's sort of stumbling home. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know why, but that's how it turned out.
Well, I think that's what imagination is for, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, to imagine whatever. Then we had Richard Hell from, you know, he found the master tapes to his second album, Destiny Street, and remixed the thing and sent it to me. And Lowest Common Denominator, Richard Hell and the Voidoids. After that, Bombas Prendon, Nowhere to Go, a kind of rare one. They got, I think her name was Candy. They had a lady member. This is a group that recorded thousands of songs and only did 5 gigs in 40 years. They got a whole buttload of other stuff they had recorded that's coming out too. Archive, Trove. Hands Rotten after that from Switzerland with drum guitar, pling plong. And then Pump Fiction. Kingdom Bone, Pump, you know, the portive pump organ. Is there a connector? Okay. Devil Hoof after that, Octavia, that's Devin Hoff's little alter ego where he's practicing. He finds himself band alone in these current days, like a lot of us. Deep in the Woods, 66, out of Dublin, with First They Cometh, Then They Taketh, Take Me Away. Not taketh. Watts getting creative with other people's stuff here. Fuck. Stop that. And then finally, what you were referring to earlier, Madam Vega's Cuban Dream. And that's Kimbaum Brandenburg. So, how long to get all these, what is there, 12 pieces?
Yeah, so it was about a year, you know, because we were working on the film, 2 film soundtracks, but we had lots of it recorded in like half a year, and then we were working on the second film, and then we did the final bits. And then also that track, Pump Fiction, that you just played, there in the middle, that I came up with the idea on the pump organ, and then we recorded the pump organ piano Celeste. And then he wrote a really cool orchestral arrangement for that. And like did a sketch in, you know, one of those programs where you can like do a MIDI orchestra. And I thought, oh, that's cool, but we can't get an orchestra, you know, this is, this is a two-man operation here working on their own.
Too many marks.
A year later, we actually got people in. We got like bass clarinet, French horn, flugelhorn, violins, viola, double bass, the clarinets, the whole, just a few people at a time. And we did sort of a stripped down version of that arrangement. And that was like a year after we recorded the original take. And that was kind of the end. That was about a year later. So I think it took a year.
Is it kind of mixed? Is there MIDI stuff with those real woodwinds?
No, it's only real orchestral instruments on it now in the end.
Yeah. I'm curious, the way you did the film stuff, is that like the screen on the bulkhead there and you guys are watching it and playing real time, or?
A bit of both, actually. We did that, and the first film was a documentary for, like I said, by a guy called Jean Bouet, a filmmaker who Hans-Jürgen Brandenburg has worked with for decades. He was apparently really into lap steel, which is my main instrument, and we did one track that he really liked for his new film. So we had actually done that before, and he wanted it in the film, and then we did more for that first film. And the second film was more like that. We got a 3-hour edit. You know, it was edited down to 1.5 hours in the end. And there were some moments where I remember one thing that I played. I had this little fretless ukulele bass, you know, those things with this fat
kind of rubber band strings, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which is kind of a cool instrument. It seems like a gimmick, but it's not. It actually sounds, through an amp, it sounds really good. And I was actually playing bass to a scene where two people were jogging, like playing just the bass soundtrack to that. And that actually ended up in the film, which was nice.
So you're actually like, reactions you get in watching the film, you're trying to interpret it with your improvisation.
Yeah, we also had some, there was like three protagonists in the second film, even as a documentary, it's like following these three journalists. And we did sort of a theme for each of them and yeah, tried to work a little bit like that.
Ah, so each time the character comes on screen, you can refer back to that musical motif?
Yeah, to have something that sort of ties in a little bit with each character. Not like 100% that it's always like that, but we had that as sort of guideline.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. I remember the Minutemen once got asked to do it for a student film, and it was like a monster movie. It was called Hell, I think. You know, going to hell, right? Dying and going to hell. And he just shows it, and he asks us to just jam along to the month. I mean, we've never seen it before, so he's getting like our first reaction. We don't know the next parts that are coming, you know?
And you did that.
We did that. It's on ballot
report. Great.
I think it's the only film, I don't know what you call it, a soundtrack work that Minutemen ever did.
Wow, I would love to see that. Can you see that anywhere?
I don't know about seeing it, but the actual audio is on ballot result, the record that came out after the last record. Yeah, and we only saw it while we were doing it. Right, it's a student film and stuff like that, but just the whole idea of, you know, this whole thing about improvisation and stuff, and then when you key it to something like visual cues, right?
Mm.
Especially ones you've never seen before. You don't know how it's working out, how it's developing, right? Because you've never seen it before. It's first impression. Sort of like this idea, like Mr. Brandenburg likes to be ready to record, catches you before you maybe actually have even learned the song.
Exactly, and I think that can be a really good song. I mean, sometimes you might do something better later, but you will never do that thing again, you know? So it's good. It's good to capture it, I think.
You're talking about like initial reaction.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
It's like it might be right. It might.
No. We got a saying here in the courtroom, where the judge, one of his responsibilities, he's got to make sure the jury doesn't hear stuff that might fuck up the decision, because we say you can't unring the bell.
Yeah.
Right. Just because the judge says, "Oh, ignore that," you already heard it. So, you know what I mean? It's going to influence you, maybe. But now we're talking about artistic sets, of course. Nothing crazy shit like somebody, on trial. We're at the end of the first hour, last day of February 28, 2021. My Pedro Show special guest, Fred Kimball. Hold tight for hour two. February 28, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wofford Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Flooster Melody, Kim Baum Brandenburg, Ben Salter after that. This cat lives in Tasmania, even south of Australia. Not much, but Irrepressible. Don the Tiger after that with Taxi. I think he's a Berliner. Aruba Avua, too, the cat in that band. Portuguese, but I think he lives in Berlin. Neonda, A5. And then we had Scenic, which is a prost, Bruce Latcher, who was on a couple episodes ago. It was Sage, and his music's always been cinematic. And then finally, Kim Baum Brandenburg with Waltzing with Whales. Now, there's a big river, I think it's the Spree, or Spey?
Yes, the Spree, they say in German. But exactly, Spree, you can say in English. S-P-R-E-E.
Right, I know. The Dutch with the double vowels fool us too, right? Because we want to say moon or noon.
Yeah.
It ain't going to work. Okay, Wales, now, this is kind of imaginary, right?
Yeah, that was actually the track that got us the first film that the director heard and said, okay, I want that in the film, let's do this. And it's on the Bison Born, you know, the acoustic lap steel, the baritone thing I have here. And I think it just sounded something. I also, Hans Jørn played piano and Celeste on it, and I also played some pump organ bass on it. And it was sort of creaking, the old pump organ, and it sounded something like a ship, and I think that's where we got the whales from. Something out at sea.
Which are kind of enemies of the whales, because they kill them. You know, these big cam boats run them over and shit.
Yeah.
We actually got, you know, they part of their migration comes by Pedro.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, they're in Mexico, and they come up with their babies, especially the mamas, with the cows with their calves. And usually the other side of Catalina, but sometimes in between, you know, we got this big island, Catalina. And some are blues, and blues are the biggest, right, in the world, biggest animal
yeah.
in the world. Pretty amazing. And you know what's trip? You know, the sperm, okay, he's got teeth, and dolphins, and porpoise, orcas. But all them other big-ass whales, they got big, like big mustaches, the strainers, baleen. Ballenite, they say, Mexicans, Spanish, because they eat tiny chow. They eat plankton.
Yeah, because they're sort of filtered in through this big, yeah.
Total filter.
Sieve.
Sieve. Yeah, totally like that. And then their turds, the shisa, you know, is like fucking,
yeah.
It's really healthy. It feeds the other, sort of like the dung beetle, you know how he grows his chow in the fucking turds. Kind of a metaphor for infinity.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So can you see them from the shore?
Yeah, sometimes. But, you know, they got boats that go and chase these things, you know. Hopefully good skippers, you know, stay clear so they can have a life. Not be told.
Yeah, I never seen a whale. I was in Australia, and there was a place where it'd say sometimes you could see them, but they didn't show up for me.
Yeah. Well, they're probably hiding. You know what really fucks with them is the propeller noise, because they sing to each other. And when I say sing to each other, I'm talking buttloads of miles. In fact,
yeah, exactly. I've heard those whale noises. It's pretty amazing.
Right. That's how they find their mates. You know, who they're going to team up with and have babies. Another thing is the way the submarines talk. They use a real low frequency. Yeah. You know, what's it called? The law of unintended consequences. Us humans, we got to take a big course on that shit. I want to play Madame Vega and Buenos Aires. Thank you. Watford Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off Madam Vegan, Buenos Aires, Kimbom Bamberg. Then Clara Rockmore, Pastoral, Mika Levy, Wings, Beneath the Ruins, Minor Memories. And then I think this is your first jam with Mr. Brandenburg, Nolan Dorf, Neptune.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I just made a finished the album with the El Sueño de Manayo guys. And the last tune, on the last tune, since the main man, Stefano,
the guitarist,
Talia, asked me to quote some Walt Whitman for the first. Yeah, he's the guitarist, but he also put the band together. He's kind of, so I thought for the last tune, I'll quote some Giuseppe Garibaldi. And so one of the quotes I took was, Bacchus has drowned more sailors than Neptune.
Ah.
You know who Bacchus is, right?
Yeah.
The wine dude. Right. So, obviously, you named this guy after you performed it, recorded it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's Nollendorf Platz is the place in Berlin that's just next to where his studio is. And there, under the U-Bahn, so the subway bridge, you know, it comes like from underground and goes through this overground bridge there. It's like, because this place was really bombed away in the Second World War. There's hardly anything left of that square that was there. And it was like this beautiful garden there with ponds and stuff. And it's this kind of Neptune statue sitting there under, it's full of pigeon shit and sort of a hangout for people who drink all day. And it's a really kind of, it looks like a I thought it was Neptune, but it's kind of, yeah, because he has like dolphins next to it. And it looks kind of scary, but he's like the little hidden remnant of this old garden that was there.
Does he have his trident?
He doesn't actually have a trident, and I learned later he's actually called a nickel man, which I don't really know why that is, but we call it Neptune anyway. But there was a pond in front of him, and it looks like it's kind of falling apart, and this old, from 1904, I think it says above it. It's like one of those little details of Berlin.
Right. Now, Neptune, I think, is the Roman version of Poseidon.
Exactly.
And Poseidon was the brother of Zeus.
You know this better than me.
Maybe, I don't know. But it interests me a little bit. And actually, he got into we made him into a sea guy way more than he was in the old Greek days. He was more about earthquakes.
Ah, so that was his first specialty.
Yeah, to destroy, because, you know, a lot of shit got destroyed. I mean, the Minotian civilization, right?
Yeah.
Them and the sea people. It's just interesting. I've seen lots of statues. There's a great one. In fact, we're going to use a picture, one that the drummer man Paolo took in Bologna. And a lot of people that have these fountains with Neptune and the old pagan. I think it's some kind of connect Europeans have before maybe the Christian kind of thing. Although there's a lot of Christian things with water, too. But there's something about the sea. And I should say Berlin's got some canals.
It does. It is. It's far from the sea, but it is connected. It's hooked up. It's on the grid.
Yeah, because in the old days, canals were like the roads. The first big project was in the U.S. was the Erie Canal. When they put this canal between Lake Erie and the Hudson River, from the Atlantic Ocean, you could reach, because that's the Great Lakes in the middle of the Midwest and shit. So it was incredible access.
Yeah, here's like that still. You know, the Rhine, for instance, it's like barges that go there. It's lots of traffic, actually. You think that's so old-fashioned, but it happens every day.
The other big one you mentioned, Hamburg, Elbe.
Yeah.
Right. These are big babies that are like conduits from the sea. And maybe Pedro living in a harbor and stuff. But even something like Berlin, water was the way, especially in the older days when there was just fucking wagons and horses. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
It's but you know, a funny thing, when you said Il Sogno di Marinaio,
yeah,
your band, that the label that released this album now, the Kimbo Brandenburg Madame Vega album, 2 days ago, actually, it's called Float. It's in London, and that's the label that put out Andrea Belfi, two albums by Andrea Belfi a couple of years ago.
This is a brand new label. I remember the, because that's the former drummer, right? We got a second drummer now.
Exactly.
Andrea Belfi, a great cat.
Yeah, I really like it. So I've seen him a couple of times here in Berlin, what he does alone. I think it's really good. I'm making another album with Kimbo McKessner, my
yeah, love that
in German project, and so we have a new record that's almost finished, and I also been getting into mixing and mastering, you know, just
sure. I'll ask about
new skills, you know, and
I want to so ask you about that, yeah. But we're at the end of the second hour, February 28th, 2021. This Wap Peter Show special guest Fred Kimbo. Das tut mir leid. Hold tight for hour three. February 28, 2021. It's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro show.
Thank you. while, my brother went with my wife's sister. I knew the girl since I was 18 years old. But he was in the service, and she wrote him a letter. She married someone else. He loved that girl. He didn't go with another one after that. I mean, another new one. There was one after that he went with before, and he married her. There was four boys and two girls in our family. We had a big family. My oldest brother, he went in the service before they drafted him. His girlfriend, she didn't want him to go. He joined the army. He stayed there 20 years. Can you imagine 20 years in the service? He was never overseas, never seen no action though. He was down in Florida. He was a good mechanic. That's why a general or major or something like that always used to take him along when they'd go fishing, deep sea fishing. He had to go along. See, if the boat stops or something, you know, he'd be there. I don't know if he fished or not, but he went with them.
Yeah.
Watford Pedro Show. Started the third hour off with Over the Rooftops. I'm mixing the titles with my fucking spiel. Kim Bone, Brandenburg. Jacob Rosenzweig after that with Ribs. Network Glass out of Baltimore with NOVH1. I don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry, Dor. But incredible music. This guy, he blows my mind. 10 Feet Up, the Mikael Simpson remix from Sleep Party People. David Greenberger and Paul Sabar, Tomorrow Sound with The Letter. And finally, April in November, at the end of February. Brandenburg. So get, some insights on that. Over the
April and November.
Both of them.
Yeah, that was, we have a guy, a friend of us, he's an actor, but he also makes video, and he was in the studio a few times filming stuff, and he said he wanted to film us coming up with something, so we came up with that. Which is basically just the overtones on the lap steel, and then Hans-Jørn Brandenburg just responded with the piano, and we just recorded it. It turned out like a quite atmospheric thing.
Now you said he had big windows. Can you see the rooftops?
You see rooftops, exactly. That was, thanks for reminding me. That's actually where the, because it felt like a little bit like this broadcast ping, this cling noises. And we saw the rooftops. So that was actually, I think that was it. He's also got a church tower, a church like 30 meters that 12 o'clock, the bells go off there. So we have... They have come on many a recording too. You have to wait sometimes.
Kind of a bogart. And then I know some of this recording was done in November. Probably that piece, the April one, right?
Exactly. It was a thing that Hans Jørn, he wrote the basic of that, and he called it April. And then we recorded it again in November. And like you said, now I listen to it in February.
Yeah, right. But let's talk about just a little bit. Berlin weather. The winter starts like at the end of November, right? Or maybe in the middle.
Yeah, so this was crazy because it was no real kind of winter. And a Berlin winter can be this gray, dull, boring. You don't see the sun for 3 months. And
yeah,
really,
right.
But 3 weeks ago maybe, it just became really kind of arctic here. So it was really cold and snowy for about a week and a half. And then spring showed his face, but now hit it again. Yeah, now it's just kind of cold and gray again.
Now, you know how I know a little bit? Larry Mullins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did the last 2 years of touring with the Stooges, Larry Mullins.
Yeah, we had a drink. It was a break in the, you know, the bars were open in the summer and early autumn. We had the beers with Larry in a great bar he introduced me to in Charlottenburg here. Great guy.
Now, do you know about where he likes to record with his Ingo, his buddy, at Tempelhof Candy Bomber?
Yeah. I played on an album with Gemma Ray, a British artist there. I played bass and lap steel on that. And some other session from another record, too. And our album was mastered by Ingo in Candy Bomber.
Okay, yeah. Small world, everything connected.
Yeah.
Andrea Belfi.
It is a small world.
Small world. Righteous. Here, I want to play Madam Vega at the fairground.
Thank you. shot at the parking lot when things were good and clean. But things I'll remember are leaving now. And now I was looking for something to do. I was we'll be right back.
fade it out to get your pitch line.
For Pedro Show Last Music for this edition, Kimbaum Brandenburg with Madame Vega at the fairground, then David Gerard and Mike Metley, also known as the GM Corporation, Transhumanism, Death of Samantha, old Cleveland band with Couldn't Forget About That, in parentheses, one item, and that's got John Petkovich, from Cobra Verde, which is the name of a Werner Herzog movie, Mr. Kinski. Finally, the reprise of Notre Dame, so the bookends of the album, Kimball.
Exactly.
Now, you told me you've been learning some skills during the situation.
Yeah, well, we mixed this album ourselves, and I've done decent rough mixes through the years, but now I just thought, okay, now you can't tour, you can't play live, etc., and I thought, okay, I can learn some new skills. So we mixed this album, and I think it turned out well, and then I got some new gear. I got new monitors 2 days ago here in my little studio, and just really into the whole thing of mixing and also mastering, which I always thought that's something mysterious, but I just basically put myself to study online, watch videos, read things, and try things, and I'm getting pretty good at it, so I feel like the whole lockdown thing, I feel like I've used the time well. I don't feel like I'm wasting any time.
The learning is in the doing. One thing I can tell by hearing you talk, is this the room where you mix?
It's actually the room next to where I mix. I don't have the ideal. It's an old Berlin flat with 3.5 meter ceilings. I'm going to have to put in a little bit of acoustic treatment eventually.
Yeah, I was going to say, the worst thing is probably a cube with parallel walls or even a rectangle. And so if you get just some foam rubber kind of stuff with two-sided tape, you can really help things along. Because, the reflective and standing waves and bass traps in the corner and that kind of shit. But it's really kind of fixes. None of these places were built to make music, right? So we're adapting them. We got to adapt.
Yeah, I got a pair of good headphones to sort of double check things on just because of this reason, you don't have an ideally. But I'm going to work on it. That's my next thing on the menu, to start getting the acoustics better or more suitable.
Yeah, I hear people talking, microphones and preamps and all that stuff. But if you don't have a good place to mix it acoustically, and headphones are great, especially for checking out detail. But, you want to mix what we say here, translates. That means they don't have to come to your pad to hear the good mix. It'll sound good even in the car with the motor running.
Yeah.
That is a skill. And I think it's from experience, from learning and doing and stuff. But what I like is musicians, you know, I was talking about this on a guest a couple other, maybe last episode, like only a couple of people knew how to write. So everybody had to go tell their stories to these dudes who wrote it down instead of all of us learning how to write ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get more and more, and since the situation presents itself, try to get more and more people empowered, because it is more econo these days. It was harder in the older days. And, you know, the equipment. And then there's more and more information out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so much you can learn. I mean, and then, of course, there can be different conflicting information, but, you know,
of course,
there's so much to tap into.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, well, we say over here, opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one in his
stomach. Exactly. Right?
Okay. They probably got it over there in Germany also. But, you know, there's something to learn, but you got to sift through it. What we call that sieve, you're right, you got to filter it and take it all in. And actually, there's no wrong or right way, because it's aesthetics anyway, right? You decide.
Exactly.
You're the maker.
I have some friends here as well, or producers and stuff, that I went to one, Victor van Vugt is Australian producer, mixer here, and I went to his studio quite early on to just double check my mixes to see am I going in the right direction, and I was really happy that I actually sound good in his studio. So that's, you know, when you don't have the perfect place yourself, it's good to, you know, check how it sounds in a few other places just to...
Oh, absolutely, and also people. No greater gift a music cat can do for another music cat than to pass on either resources or infos or experience.
Yeah, what I was worried about the low end. That's kind of the hardest thing to think. Is this too much? Is it not enough?
Absolutely.
And he was like, oh, the low end is right. And I was like, yeah.
The only time you could get away with that, the only time you could get away with that is with reggae.
Yeah.
There's no problem. You can bring the band.
Bring it on.
Otherwise, it bogarts and it ruins everything. Yeah. It's weird about bass. You know, it's the small frequency range, but it's really critical.
Very, very much so.
Oh, man. And then you got another album coming with your partner.
Yeah, exactly. Kimboom and Kessner. I'm really happy with it. So we're going to do some sessions with bass clarinet this coming week. And Mr. Brandenburg is coming over to play some pump organ. You know, I can do it, but he can do it better. And so it's almost, I think we'll be finished in a couple of weeks. And then, you know, see where it ends up. But it's been a lot of fun and you know, good to keep doing things.
Yeah.
You said, in the break there, we just see what can we do in this time, you know,
right,
rather
now
than to feel sad about what we can't do.
We got a say in here, why does a dog lick his balls? Because he can. Now, look, when you get this record done, will you come back on the show, please, and we'll play it and we'll talk about it?
Definitely. Thank you, Mike. That's my pleasure.
Yeah, you and Mr. Brandenburg did a beautiful thing here. Please tell him from me.
Thank you. I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Safe seas, brother. People, it's been the February 28, 2021 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.